notes. Here is Frederick Hodges.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm so glad you're all here. I first want to thank Kathleen. It's thanks to Kathleen that this presentation is taking place. It was her idea. She said to me last year, Frederick, what about a seminar on Jerome Kern? That is a brilliant idea. I would never come up with that. And Kathleen, I want to thank you. And I want to thank Sean Sharp, because without Sean Sharp, this presentation would be nothing. He has turned it into a masterpiece. Well, I hope a masterpiece. Thank you so much. So when Kathleen proposed the topic, I knew that Jerome Kern had been active in the ragtime era, but I didn't know to what extent. And you're going to find out the fruits of this research. But of course, we all know Jerome Kern from his famous melodies. Material, how is it possible that he could have also written ragtime? Because people think, oh, ragtime, it's great, it's full of energy, but it's a little crude, it's a little simplistic. Well, it could be simplistic in the hands of some composers, but if a man had the ability to write All the Things You Are, if he put his hand to writing ragtime, surely there would be something special about it. Here's some pictures of some of the lyricists he worked with. Oscar Hammerstein, Ira Gershwin, Dorothy Fields. Who's that man sitting next to Dorothy Fields on the other side of Jerome Kern? George Gershwin. So what was Jerome Kern doing from 1885, the year he was born, to 1920, which we will arbitrarily say is the end of the ragtime era? Well, He was born, for one thing. He was born in New York City on Sutton Place, which at that time was the city's brewery district. And he took piano lessons and took organ lessons. And then he went to high school in New Jersey. His parents moved to New Jersey, and there's his high school. It's called Barringer High School. And then he went to a music academy starting in 1902, the New York College of Music, where he studied piano under Alexander Lambert and Paolo Gallico, very famous names in the world of classical music. If you collect or have any Schirmer editions of classical music, you'll recognize those names as editors. Obviously, very precocious young man. He wrote a piece published in 1902, the year he entered the Music Academy, and it's called At the Casino. And I have never seen a picture of the sheet music cover, so I don't know what the casino means. Could it be the casino at Monte Carlo? Or maybe it's the Casino Theater, where years later, he had a lot of his greatest hit shows. And since I recently acquired a copy of his very first publication, At the Casino, I thought you deserved to hear it, to be the first audience to hear this piece since 1902. Germany, one of the greatest university cities in the world, and study music and composition there. So he stayed there from 1903 to 1905 and studied under private tutors before moving to London. He was a great Anglophile and spent much of this early period of his life living in England, applying his craft, trying to write shows for English musicals. There he is as a young man at this time. His great break came when he made the acquaintance of a man named Charles Frohman, who was one of the leading Broadway impresarios at that time. Now, Broadway was a little bit, well, actually pretty much the same as today. It was made up of local shows created by Americans, but also British imports and imports from Central Europe, operettas. And the English shows were the mainstay of Broadway at that time. They were very popular. And Charles Frohman was the one who would acquire the rights of these English shows and bring them over to the United States and present them on Broadway. But he felt American audiences couldn't quite take an English show in its pure form. It needed to be Americanized in a way, so that he would interpolate new songs by American composers. And Jerome Kern was the composer he hired to do this. And for scores of English shows, Jerome Kern would contribute one or two numbers to update it, make it modern, make it American. And so here are a few of the sheet music covers for some of these English shows for which he wrote songs. And he gained quite a reputation as the go-to man for Americanizing any kind of show. One of his biggest hits at this time was How'd You Like to Spoon With Me, which was introduced in a show called The Earl and the Girl. And we're quite fortunate that this song in a production number has been preserved. Now, when MGM created the biopic of Jerome Kern in the 1940s, they recreated this. And I thought I would play it for you so you can enjoy the genius, the ragtime genius of Jerome Kern. You Americanize a show. So he continued throughout the early part of the ragtime era to again improve these British shows, so many of them, one after the other. One of the ways that he, the spring chicken, do you see the visual pun? Very clever. One of the ways that he would improve these shows and make them more accessible to American audiences was by, in his songs that he would write, he would insert a ragtime dance with no lyrics. So what I thought I'd do is play for you this song, Poker Love, And I'll point out to you when we get to the ragtime dance part. Body, if you've a drop of sporting blood in you, come for a little trip, it's just the thing to do. On my staunch and cozy ship, the poker deck will make the trip, and play the little game called Bill and Coo. Upon my face a flush begins to steal. Shuffle the cards again, I trust you on the deal. Will you bet your stack on me? Will you wed me faithfully? If discarded, how I'd feel. Let me be your diamond king, and you be queen of hearts. In a little full house I can make you cherry tarts. I love you, and that's no bluff. You and I can win the stuff. In our deck you'll always be my little queen of hearts. And here's the ragtime dance. They include that instrumental rag. I shouldn't be mentioning that. Is Adam Swanson in the room? I don't want him to start collecting these things and bidding against me on eBay. Adam, are you here? Good. He ought to be. That's right. He's on eBay right now on his phone. So here are more of these wonderful shows, English shows. And as you can see, if you can read carefully, Charles Frohman is always the producer. Then we come to 1911. This was the year that Jerome Kern wrote his first complete show. That is to say, he was the sole composer. And it was called La Belle Paris. And this is a very important show for so many reasons, not just because it's Jerome Kern's first full show, but because its star had this as his very first Broadway show. None other than Al Jolson. And Al Jolson, for this show, created a character that stayed with him the rest of his career. And this show featured several ragtime songs, which I will be demonstrating you for in a moment. Now, the thing about this show is that it was a flop. Nobody liked it. It went on too long. It was about 3 hours long. And after a couple nights, the audience was just bored. They were walking out. And Al Jolson said, I got to do something. I can't have my first Broadway show be a flop. So he said, stop the music. Stop the music. And he went up to the stage and said, audience, are you sick and tired of this show as much as I am? He said, yeah. And he said, okay. The show's over. I'll just sing for you all the songs in this show. And so that's how the show then became a hit, because it was now just an Al Jolson stage show, but doing the Jerome Kern songs. And so these are the three songs: The Goblin's Glide, The Edinburgh Wriggle, and Paradise. Paris is a paradise for goons. The Goblin's Glide was introduced by Florence Tempest and Marion Sunshine. They were sisters. They had a sister. I will play for you this wonderful raggy song. Talk about your syncopated Cubanola drag. I just got acquainted with a lazy loving rag. Has them all be 40 ways right from the jack. To a frazzle so they can't come back. Talk about your grizzly bears that squeeze you most to death. I can tell you about a dance that takes away your breath. Where the ivy clings around the old church tower, where the clocks are chiming out the midnight hour.
That's the time your face turns white, curly hair gets straight with fright. That is when your fear begins, when you see the goblins. Doing the goblins glide, doing the ghosty slide. Never a touching the ground at all, slipping right back through a churchyard wall. Get in the dance before they catch you. Make them believe you're a goblin too. Don't look behind you, hun. They'll never find you, hun. Doing the goblins glide.
And now, the Edinburgh Wriggle, another wonderful raggy song with a Scottish flavor, introduced by Jean Alwyn, who actually was a Scottish lass. And then Paris is a paradise for coons. Now, we may naturally find this offensive, but strangely enough, that if you read the lyrics of the song, it's all about how America is a horrible racist place and Paris isn't, and blacks have much more freedom there. So it's an interesting sort of political message for that time. But it's also a fun song. And it was introduced by Al Jolson, of course, and Florence Tempest. And Al plays a character called Erastus Sparkler. And Stella Mayhew, her character is named Eczema Johnson. No comment. It was a different time, my friends. A different time. So, I'm not going to sing these lyrics because I didn't have time to learn them, but I will play for you the song. You can enjoy its ragtime flavor. Jack Norworth, who at that time were Broadway's power couple. And of course, you all know that the two of them wrote
Shining Harvest Moon.
Take Me Out of the
Ballgame.
No.
Norworth.
Jack Norworth did.
Yeah.
Take Me Out of the Ballgame. Maybe she didn't contribute to that. Doesn't matter. She was a wonderful woman. And anyway, in this show, not only did Jerome Kern contribute several songs, but he contributed a piano rag. Or shall we say an instrumental rag that was used on stage as the big dance production number. And I thought I'd play that for you. It's called The Turkey Trot. Thank you. I consulted with an expert on historic dances, a professor at Stanford University, on the correct tempo for a turkey trot. And apparently that is it. Turkey trot was really just a one step done with a few animal type gestures added in. Well, in 1912, he had a big hit with a show called The Red Petticoat. As you can see, the star was quite elaborate. And this song, or this show, featured one of his greatest ragtime hits. A song called The Ragtime Restaurant. I'm going to perform that for you, but I'm going to need assistance from a member of the audience. Do I have a volunteer for someone to assist me with The Ragtime Restaurant? I'm going to call on someone. Sean. Get on the spot. He knows what to do. The Ragtime Restaurant. Now, as many of you know, Sean is the most famous man on earth for his song slide show presentations. Actually, you all attended our song slide presentation on yesterday.
Yes.
And so we've decided to turn this into a sing-along song. So participation is mandatory.
Words we don't know.
Mose McGunder was a money-making wonder on the search for something new. When he saw the fashion was the ragtime passion, he declared, here's what I'll do. If the folks are crazy for that syncopation hazy, I will give them what they want. So he rented a place on Broadway, and he fitted him up a cafe with electrical signs and letters gay that you could see a mile away. The Ragtime Restaurant, a ragtime restaurant, a regular ragtime, daily and drag time, ragtime restaurant, where down the aisle in ragtime style the ragtime waiters fly, a getting ragtime orders for the ragtime boarders, like a chick chick chicken and a pop pop pie. Ragtime stars will sing in all the ragtime tunes you want. And when you eat your ragtime fill, you give a ragtime tip, pay your ragtime check with a ragtime bill. My, that's some ragtime restaurant. Sometime later came an educated waiter, and he thought he knew a lot. Says he, I know I'm going to show him how to do the turkey trot. Well, he tried to do it, but they wouldn't let him through it, and they said, you bet you can't. They ragged him all over the floor, and his elegant clothing they tore, as they fired him out on the through the door, saying, don't come here no more to this ragtime restaurant, this ragtime restaurant, this regular ragtime, jolly and drag time, ragtime restaurant, where down the aisle, in ragtime style, the ragtime waiters fly, a-getting ragtime orders for the ragtime boarders, like a chick, chick, chicken and a pop, pop, pie. Ragtime stars, I'll sing it all the ragtime tunes you want. And when you eat your ragtime fill, you give a ragtime tip, pay your ragtime check with a ragtime bill. My, that's some ragtime restaurant. Everybody join with me on the chorus. Down the aisle, in ragtime style, the ragtime waiters fly. I'm getting ragtime orders for the ragtime boarders, like a chick, chick, chicken and a pop, pop, pie. Ragtime stars, I'll sing it all the ragtime tunes you want. And when you eat your ragtime fill, you give a ragtime tip, pay your ragtime check with a ragtime bill. My, that's some ragtime restaurant.
you've been singing it all your life. And my friends, if you can find for me a ragtime song that has the word ragtime in the lyrics more often than that one, I'll buy you a drink tonight. Well, in 1914, he scored one of his biggest Broadway hits, The Girl from Utah. Now, this was actually an English show, but they jettisoned all the music, just kept the plot, and Jerome Kern wrote all the music. And of course, one of his most famous songs, They Didn't Believe Me, is from this. And of course, you all know that. And when I told them how beautiful you are, they didn't believe me, they didn't believe me. Was introduced by Julia Sanderson. And Julia Sanderson was an enormous star at this time. She was the kind of actress that you hired when you wanted someone who embodied purity, someone who was full of goodness and good cheer, but strength. And anyway, she remained one of Jerome Kern's favorite stars and was in many of his shows throughout much of both of their careers. Well, another big hit from this show was called You're Here and I'm Here. It was such a big hit, it was put into other shows. So this sheet music cover has it from The Marriage Market, but it was also in many other shows. And it was, there's the list of the shows that it's in. The Marriage Market, The Laughing Husband, Queen of the Movies, and When Dreams Comes True, plus The Girl from Utah. And interestingly enough, this was issued not only as a song, but as a ragtime piano solo, and it has additional sections to it to make it a real rag. So I thought I'd play for you that very rare ragtime version of this hit Broadway song. Princess Theater musicals. The Princess Theater was a theater in New York City, and it was important, oddly enough, because it was so small. It only had 299 seats. Well, what can you do when you can only sell 299 seats a night? You can charge a lot of money? No. They had to charge what other theaters could charge. That means you have to slash your budget. The shows have got to be small and inexpensive. But you can't have a cheap show that people don't like. It's got to be top quality. So they brought in Guy Bolton as the librettist, P.G. Woodhouse as the lyricist, and Jerome Kern as the composer. And these three men created these series of musicals that quickly became enormously popular. And they are Nobody Home, Very Good Eddie, Have a Heart, Oh Boy, Leave It to Jane, and Oh Lady Lady. All fantastic shows, wonderful music. Now, I have to declare one thing, is that these shows were so popular that they eventually left the Princess Theater and moved into giant Broadway theaters and would play for over a year. That's especially true for Oh Boy. The very first Princess Theater show was called Nobody Home. And true to form, this is actually a European show imported, but Jerome Kern wrote almost all of the music for it. And again, this was an enormous success. And the big hit from this show was called The Magic Melody. And I thought there could be no better way to have you listen to the glory of this ragtime song than to hear an original recording. There were many recordings I could have chosen, but I chose what I regard as, well, what I know is my favorite, and that is Billy Murray's recording of The Magic Melody. Production numbers in this show, Nobody Home, was called At That San Francisco Fair. And this is quite an unusual piece in that Jerome Kern collaborated with James Reese Europe and Ford Dabney on this song. There you can see this, James Reese Europe with his orchestra. So with the assistance of my lovely volunteer, Sean Sharp, I will perform this song for you.
Goodbye, boys, I'm on my way. I'm leaving town today for San Francisco on that Golden West Express to that sun-caressed land I love the best, where hospitality is more than free. Just take a tip from me, there'll be an army of friends to meet us waiting there to greet us. Surely as you're alive when we arrive, where? At that San Francisco Fair. Oh,
let us fly. Hurry, hurry, here's my fare. Try to stop me if you dare. Hear those whistles blowing, everybody's going to that San Francisco Fair.
As you can see, that is all about the Panama Pacific Exhibition of 1915, which was a huge, important event right here in our backyard. Now, another wonderful song from this show is The Chaplain Walk, which, of course, Joan Kern in this case wrote it all by himself. And with Sean's kind help, we are going to have this song exposed to you. Seeing some Hollywood stars performing two of the songs from Leave It to Jane.
Everyone loved work with all that her work was swift.
sense of the great fun of those wonderful ragtime shows. Well, Jerome Kern wasn't just a wonderful composer, he was also a wonderful mentor. He hired George Gershwin as his rehearsal pianist for several of his shows, and that's how George Gershwin learned how to put a show together. And George Gershwin said, "I left Remick," that was a music publishing house where he worked, "because I wanted to be closer to production music, the kind Jerome Kern was writing. Kern was the first composer who made me conscious that most popular music was an inferior quality, and that musical comedy music was made of better material. I followed Kern's work and studied each song that he composed. I paid him the tribute of frank imitation, and many things I wrote at this period sounded as though Kern had written them himself." Well, he's being very generous, because George Gershwin was a genius in his own right, not an imitator. But it's lovely that he was willing to give so much credit. And there they are together. They were wonderful friends. George Gershwin recorded a lot of Kern's early ragtime pieces on piano. I'm going to play for you just a few bars of one of these piano rolls, Whippoorwill. Sophistication and cleverness of that song. Gershwin clearly learned a lot, but he learned from the best. And that is the end of my presentation. If you have questions, you can see me out in the hallway.